Okay, last time we, last year, last week, we began to talk a little bit about the Rambam's. Rambam is now up to talking about Gemara, and talking about Gemara chronologically is his opportunity to jump into the world of Agada. And he talks here, one aspect, I think last week we touched on the fact that in the Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, like he comes to discussion of Agada from a somewhat different perspective, but very much coming to the same place. He says that the Agadatas are even more than the halachic topics, Agadatas are such that if you learn them well, and as he puts it, Iyun Pnimi, if you get to the core of what the Agadah is about, so there's a deep and beautiful ideas, if you just look at the surface and you miss the point, so it seems totally fantastic and totally irrational. And he says he gives several reasons why it was that Chazal chose to discuss issues of machshava, issues of theology, and discussions about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to dress them in this sort of garb instead of being direct. The first answer is very fascinating. He says, number one is Lahafros Rayoni Halondim, to encourage creativity, to get you, it was to sharpen the mind, which is something the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Talmud Torah as well, even about the halachic discussions. And Lamdus, so he talks about, based on Gemara's, he puts together the, when he talks about the appropriate way for Rebbeim to teach Torah to Talmidim, so he talks about the value of trying to stump Talmidim, and the value of saying things that would be surprising and shocking to get them to ask, to get them to wonder, to talk in riddles occasionally, you know, it's not too much. So he said, Agadah in particular, it's a way of getting, speaking in oblique ways will encourage creative thinking and encourage the Talmidim to think deeply. And he says it's an opportunity to make sure that the people who are supposed to understand do, and the people who don't, well, people who don't won't have the sensitivity to appreciate the depth of delicate ideas of machshava, so they won't have access to it because they won't know how to get beyond the surface mushal to get at the nimshal. And he points out that this idea is rooted in Mishnah and Gemara in the second parak of Chagiga. The first Mishnah, the second parak of Chagiga, talks about which topics you can teach in large groups, which topics can only be taught to select people. And the Mishnah quotes, talks about three areas. One is halacha, and two are parts of, seem to be parts of Kabbalah, or parts of deep machshava. The halachic part is the Hilchos Arayos. You can't just give a publisher. You have to make sure that things are being transmitted accurately. And then the Mishnah talks about Master Merkava, Master Bereshis. And the Rambam quotes, the Gemara there has stories about how Chachamim who were initiated into Master Merkava, Master Bereshis should be careful of whom they taught. Even one time a Chacham who originally says, you teach me Master Bereshis, I'll teach you Master Merkava, and they teach Master Bereshis and says, sorry, I can't teach you Master Merkava. So Rambam says it wasn't that he was practicing intellectual stinginess. V'lo asa zeh chalil l'akel, near the bottom of Patron Bays, l'tzaros ayin me'ito b'chachma. It was what we talked before. It wasn't that he was stingy in wisdom and didn't want to share and wanted to know more than the others. It's chas v'sham. He says, I know that's not the case. It wasn't that Ritzon Leos l'mal mehem. It wasn't that he wanted to feel intellectually superior to them. I know what you don't know. That sort of behavior, that sort of, those are such unimpressive mitos, and even someone who's a fool, people of this level, if he's roi for Merkava, he's roi for gracious, so Rambam tells us many times over that requires intellectual readiness and it requires spiritual readiness, but its core requires readiness and what Rambam calls malos midosios. He says elsewhere as well, he talks about this in the other Hakdamas. The first step of self-preparation is tikkun amidos. We're talking about people who already have very refined amidos. It wasn't about, oh, I'm gonna have bragging rights. He said, in talking with them, he realized that they weren't on the level to learn Maaser Bereishis. He wasn't going to teach them. He wasn't going to teach them. And I think we focused last time a bit on page Nun Gimel. He talks about an idea that the Ramchal picks up on the last chapter of Masilas Yesharim, that at an advanced stage of awareness and learning about Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to work, but as the Masilas Yesharim puts it, is Tchilaso Hishtadlus V'Sofa Matana. You have to work, but then there's that leap. It's going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu will choose where not to give a person. Ramchal is talking about Kedusha, and here he's talking about understanding this deep Machshava. And so the Rambam goes on to say, look, that's why Chazal set it up. You're going to have to work on it, you have to invest a lot, and you're going to have to daven a lot, and you're going to hope that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you the Shema to understand that God. So he says, don't assume that if you don't get it, you have to assume that the chisaron is in me and not in it. As the language that the Achronim use, it's mechesron hamasig lo mechesron hamusag. It's an inability, it's a limitation on the part of the one who's trying to do the understanding, not the object the one's trying to understand. And I think we spoke last time about he gives a mashal, a mathematical mashal. He said you have someone who's familiar with a lot of science, familiar with music, educated fellow, but not a mathematician. You ask him a question of spherical trigonometry. So to him it'll sound absurd that you could stay on planet Earth, calculate the size of the sun. The irony is Rambam did not get the numbers right, according to modern science. But once again, Rambam said that's irrelevant. The point, it's a mashal. So what we care about is the mashal. We don't care about the mashal itself. And the mashal captures something important. You could be very educated, but not know, but it's still a specialty. So you could have a lot of other intellectual preparedness. You have many other prerequisites, but if you don't have the math ability, so you're not going to be able to do the astronomy. So he says, it's nice that you're a smart fellow, but if you're not been trained in how to learn goddesses properly, so don't expect that if you don't get it, there must be something wrong with it. There's something wrong with me. I don't have yet what it takes. So let's focus now on, this is something we had covered last time, let's focus on the end of section Hey, and the bottom of page 9. Okay, Roish in the Apeh Amuna Bahem. I have to develop my Amuna in Chazal and in Agados, the native Layemem, and let's invest in trying to learn them well. Don't be so trigger happy. Say, that's irrational. If something seems to, in our eyes, to be irrational, so then we need to do more work. So we need to study more, we need to learn more, we need to develop ourselves more. We need to train ourselves to be able to understand this. We need to train ourselves more, and then hopefully our minds will be sharp enough, sufficient to understand what Chazal is driving at. Because he says, let's take a page out of Chazal themselves. Chazal had an incredible amount of desire and motivation for it. And Tuva Machshava HaIslamdus. And they had great minds. And they had trained themselves. And Chevras Anashim Gedolim. And they were in a very good peer group of people who were striving, and harchakas ha'olam hazeh v'chavashiva, and they were non-materialistic, which again, as the Rambam says, they point that here somewhat, and points at greater length elsewhere, as materialism, excessive materialism is going to get in the way of spiritual intellectual accomplishment. So even though Chazal were very great in all these areas, all these prerequisites, still, and with all that, they still assumed that compared to those who came before them, we're deficient. Their minds and hearts are open so wide, like the Pesach Ha'ulam. Pesach Ha'ulam is the largest door in the Beit HaMikdash. And most of the doors, Mishnayos tell us, were 20 amas high by 10 amas wide, which is enormous. We're talking 30, 40 feet tall. It's like more than half as tall as your typical 6-foot apartment building. That's rather large. The Pesach HaUlam was twice as tall and twice as wide. It was 20 amos wide, and it was 40 amos tall. Just to like let that Mashal of Chazal sink in for a moment, it was 40 amos tall. So we're talking like 60, 70 feet. 60, 70 feet. And it was like 30 feet wide. It's as wide as many people's houses. The doorway. Enormous. Overwhelming. So that was the when you looked at the Beis HaMikdash, so you had all the chatzers, all the open air enclosed areas. But then in the middle was the building itself. So the ulam was the front door into the building. So that front door is twice as high and twice as wide as the door is further in. It's enormous. So that's the Mashal Chazal give. The lave of earlier doros were open like the Pisgah Shel Ulam, incredibly, cavernously large. And ours isn't even a pinprick in the eye of an eagle. So he says, Chazal take that approach, and they were incredibly gifted people in all these dimensions. We've lost so much more Chachma. And he says, the loss of Chachma, the degradation of Chachma, interesting, talk about Yerides Hadoros. See, he said it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Fascinating approach to Yisadaros. He says that the Kimoshi Yadanu Ra. Navi already predicted this evil. L'chein hini Yosef at the top of Ejunei. L'hafliyitz ha'ala zeh haflei l'afela. Av d'chachmas chachamav v'inas nevav t'istatar. He says, Rambam says, it's not surprising. Yeshayahu called it 2,500 years ago. Yachar kol echa meitanu b'arba advarim. Yichai, excuse me. You know what he's driving at? He's driving at the four problems. What are the four problems that we suffer from? Chulshas haseichel, chozak hataiva, ha'atzlus bivakashas hachachma, v'azrizus bivakashas almazeh. Weakness of mind, strength of desire, of material desire, and laziness in pursuing chachma combined with a tremendous amount of enthusiasm in pursuing almazeh. Pairs here are obvious, and it relates back to what we said before. And he's praising Chazal for being so well appointed with all the prerequisites. So he says, whereas we get too caught up in materialism and we're not motivated for chachma, and the taiva is strong, the seichel is weak. Okay, arbas shefata haram. So eichlin yachesach hasron nafsho sein be'erach alayim. So Rambam says, be honest. You really think? How could you honestly not recognize that if we're missing, that's because we're not where they were? It's not just about brain power. It's about a lot more than brain power. He's talking about motivation, he's talking about materialism, the whole picture of tikkun amidos and focus. Lefisha Yadu, he says, Chazal realized this was being an issue. They knew that they were saying was deep and true, and they knew that it could be easily be it meant to be often oblique, but the result might be not what should be, which is a person recognized reverence, like I don't get it, but rather scorning. Yadu, they understood this inyan, they understood this concern. And Yadu Shkot Devarim, they knew that what they were saying was really true, deep, and beautiful. But sometimes, and obviously so, and that in obviousness might lead people to scorn and to mock, ain't by seeing itself. But they knew that it's all brurim, it's all clear and high quality. That's one of the subjects of their musar is how you treat agadatas themselves. Some agadatas are bad. Mena agadata. Agadata about agadata. And look at what he says. And here it actually happens to be a great, this is about to be a super meta agada, because it's an agadata about agadatas, and the Rambam is then going to use it as an example of how to read agadatas. He has two examples. The first one is, and this is a gemara that at first strikes you as very colorful in a negative way, and like sort of like broad strokes, shall we say. Kol hamalag adivrei chachamim nidun b'sorah osachas. A person scorns the words of Chazal, and the Rambam seems to understand. We don't mean drashos, the midrashon of drashos ben, or din drabanan, shalom aleichem. We mean scoring the different chazal, and Rambam understands that, and Rambam means specifically agaratas. The person says, oh, that's silly, it's irrational, fairy tales, nidon b'tzoro sachas. So what do Chazal say? It, Chazal themselves recognize that God is, they're going to need to mizaraz us to realize, don't, you may understand the Agada, but don't make fun. As he said, b'miach is a chasaron to oneself rather than to Agada. Because if you make fun of Divrei Chazal, you need them, but tzoro sachas. You'll be judged, you'll be punished with literally with boiling feces. So right away, you get the impression it's clearly not a good thing, not something to be proud of. It is, though, a sort of a strange image. And ironically, in other words, the Agada, the Chazal, are using to say, you know, take Agadas very seriously, it's a treasure of depth, and then it tzoro sachas. Sounds so, at first, so coarse. The Rambam says very briefly, "Ein sorah sachas gadol min asichlos, asher hishiyatu lehalig." He says, "There's no greater boiling fecal matter than foolishness, than idiocy, which is what led him to say, oh, there's nothing here.' Ironically, as I think I'm so smart, I'm missing the boat. So that's what led me to think, oh, there's nothing here." I didn't try to understand Chazal deeply enough. My lack of sophistication led me to mock Chazal. And I'm projecting my own lack and my own shallowness onto the Agada. He says, the people who mock Chazal are people who tend to be people who are materialistic, who are sensual. They've not been enlightened. But Chazal understood that it is important. He's going to take us in a moment. We'll get back to continue what he says about a second Agada, about the positive focus on Agada. He says, this is, so it's interesting, if you read this, these lines around Rav Shelat points, I read the lines around Solon carefully. He said he has a line of tzoro sachas, this foolishness is leading him into this mockery, is the greatest tzoro sachas of all. Okay, what does that mean? And then all of a sudden he starts talking, the next couple lines are all about materialism. So he points out, the Rav Shelat points out, what the Rambam is hinting at. Again, the Rambam himself is being very meta also, because he too is not being 100% explicit. He's not explaining that guy fully, but he's giving you a little bit of a hint. So he put the pieces together, Rav Shelat suggests. So he says, Rambam gets you right into the discussion of how, oh, excess materialism is going to draw you away, you render you incapable of having both the motivation and the focus and the sophistication, the nuance, I should say, the refinement to understand Divrei Chazal. So he says, Tzoro Sachas. That's exactly Tzoro Sachas. He says, what's Tzoa? Tzoa is the unusable part of eating. And it's everything that's pointless about materialism. It's Tzoa. That's waste matter. So that's exactly the point. You're just getting stuck. The Malak of Divrei Chachamim, he says, if you read the Rambam, it doesn't sound like it's that Tzoro Sachas is the punishment. He said, Tzoro Sachas is the sichlus which caused you. Tzoro Sachas is the image, the metaphor for what caused you to be Malik Devecham. You're stuck, you're mired in Tzoro Sachas. And that's why you can't fly and rise and soar.
You can't differentiate between waste and good.
Right. And he said, and then take it to the next step. You're mired in what? You're mired in the negative aspects of materialism. You're mired in the shallowness, the shallow aspects of materialism. So yeah, you're stuck in that. You're knee deep in Havli El Mazeh. So if that becomes the focus and not just a necessary tool, so yes, and then over time, you're not going to have the ability. It's not a punishment. That we would judge you, I mean, we would categorize you as Tzoro Sachas. Yeah, you're stuck in your... You're stuck in your tzoa. You're stuck in your havel almazeh. So you're never going to be able. So of course you're going to end up being malig divrei chacham. There's another thread here also in this Rambam, which is the recognition that mockery is more often than not rooted in taiva and rooted in materialism. Now, oftentimes the people who mock adopt a very superior, as he was saying before, a lot of intellectual arrogance and superiority, and you thumb in your nose at they see themselves oftentimes a putting down of Divrei Chazal as being shallow, as being foolish, as fairy tales and fantastic, that is often coming from being expressed from a place of intellectual arrogance and superiority. But the Rambam is saying, which is something that's many centuries later the Rabbi Yochanan captured also, Yochanan Wasserman, is that kfira is rarely really about theology. Even when the presentation is often theological, it's pretty rare that it's really about theology. It's more often than not either about just taiva or license to adopt a more appealing lifestyle. That's what the Medrash, because the Sefer Bible also points to the Medrash that says, commenting on the story of the story at the end of, in the second half of Chumash Bamidbar, that Bnei Yisrael worshipped Pa'ar in order to allow themselves to be with the Moabi women. And it wasn't really about, it wasn't that the theology of Pa'ar was so, right. But it was that it gave them license to lead a unrestricted, undisciplined carnal lifestyle. So that's, and what Chazal are capturing is that there is rather obvious, and Pa'ar itself is very coarse avodah zarah, but that's often going to be true even in less obvious ways. So more often than that, either it's about taiva and it's about license for a lack of discipline, or it's working out feelings and emotions that haven't been worked through.
The problem with the avodah zarah is the tahara of gilui arayot, not avodah zarah that they were after.
Right, that's what Chazal was saying.
So it was about Menashe that they were all to Pa'or because of avodah zarah.
Then that's about Baal.
Baal Pa'or.
That's the same thing?
Baal Pa'or is...
Maybe, I'm not sure. But that Medrash is commenting on the story in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. After Bilam fails at the cursing, he succeeds at giving them the idea to set them up for his nose. That Gemara about Menashe is interesting, because that Gemara indicates, as does the Gemara in the seventh parak of Yuma, there was a real taiva for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah in particular, there was a real drive for it. It's something that the Gemara says there's like a societal, psychological change. And it's a title that no longer appeals to us. That's what Zachariah is describing. That actually, it's like the Odavin, they're able to remove or at least mute the Yetzirah of Avodah and morph into the Yetzirah for Minas. He's really talking more about the Yetzirah for Apikorsis, intellectual type of, not the experiential meditative Avodah Zarah, which is somehow like there's a taiva for the pleasure of having that meditative high, the yetzar for minas, for scoffing, so that is typically not really about the theology. So that does Rama. And the Rama was a great theologian. Rama was a man of the mind. He says it's bimalag divrei chachamim rarely is really about the presented questions are often good questions, but you wouldn't be malag. Grapple with questions. I have questions. But to be malig, to scorn, to have that attitude, that has nothing to do with data. That typically is really coming. There's a chip on my shoulder because I want X. Chip on my shoulder because I have unresolved feelings. And that expresses itself in the log. You were waiting for a question.
See, I should know the answer to this from what you've just been saying, but I'm going to ask it now because I'm not 100% sure. Is the materialism that the Rambam's talking about, or the physical, the taiva, that leads somebody down this, down this path of scorning the words of Chachamim. Is that a problem only because it's a misplaced values, and the person is more interested in whatever it is, and he cares more about having a Rolls Royce automobile than he does about understanding words of wisdom? Or is it that he's focused on those things, and therefore he spends all his time looking for the best deal for a Rolls Royce automobile, and he doesn't have time to focus on?
Yeah, so that's a good point. The Rambam seems to be talking about all of those plus. Because part of it is just in the most basic logistical sense of, you know, time is a limited resource. So if I spend my time here, I'm just not going to be able to invest the time to gain here. And it's, he also talks about, if we were reading carefully the last couple of lines, he also talks about motivation. And what do you care about? And the atzlus versus his rizus. And then also it sounds like there's yet another level, which is, even if the taivas are all technically mutter, but being a person whose head is, if I become a materialistically focused person, that's what life becomes about, so it flattens me as a person. Not just that I won't have, I'm so busy that I won't have the time to invest in learning, and that maybe I lose the drive to work hard, but I become a shallow person. Who I am changes. Not just I don't have the time on the focus, I'm not motivated, it flattens me. So I'm not going to be a deep person. So then I'll be they tell you, lo heir libam bedavim adadim or beim. I'm not enlightened. I'm spending my life on shallow things, so that it's not going to deepen me. I don't have those deepening opportunities. And that's what he says. Then that's the lead-in to the other agada that he quotes in this closing paragraph of section hand, page 98. By the genuine authenticity and realness and truth of what they were saying, they understood that what they were learning was incredibly deep. They did spend their days on learning Torah and learning this chelik of Torah. They commanded us to be shokeid, to be masmidim, at times at night and at the edges of the day. Sounds like, he points to the bottom. It sounds like you're working for a living, so you're going to find time when you have time. Especially if you work in a pre-Edison milieu, so work is taking place when it's light out. Right? That's what Gemara points out. That traditionally the workday, certainly the farm, workday was either sunrise to sunset or alos hashachar to zechavim. When it's light out, you work. When it's not light out, you don't work. So at the edges of the day, very beginning, the very end, and at night, when you're not at work. So then, when time is free, they said, when you have free time in your hands, you gotta invest it in learning. The samum hatachlis, and they may understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the goal, kemosha hinam. As they indeed are, these things, these devarim, devrehem, that's the plural, samum, they made these devarim, the tachlis, kemoshinam, as indeed they are. They are the tachlis. The amru, it says, here's the other side of the coin. Right? On the one hand, you have the Gemara, where are these Gemaras? One hand, the Gemara in Erevin, talking about Erevin Chafal, kamal divacham, it's all, but that's soros achas. You're mired in shallow narishkeit, in nothingness. And on the other hand, they point out, he talks about the Gemara Brachas, the positive, he understands, Ein la Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo chutz me'arba amas hala halach. Kadosh Baruch Hu has nothing in his world except for the four amas of halach. And that, he says, that's a statement about recognizing that the goal of life is, the tachos is these ideas, and you got to invest in them. He says that's what that Gemara is saying. Now, that agat is interesting also. What does that mean? And number one, halacha, it sounds like we're talking halacha, not agata. That's number one. Right away, he says, his name is Eddie, but we need to think about this. Just like we need to think carefully about that the Torah, Sachas agata. We need to think about agata. Kim Tayyembo Kifshuto. Many of us would start, we're learning, it's okay, very, very nice, okay, learning in Torah is important, you don't move on. Just 1 second. Learn like you care. Can we actually analyze Zagata? Just reading superficially, it is so far from truth. Does it mean only halacha? That's the goal. Shara chachm's ideas, mushlachas. Everything else is garbage. So he says, forget about secular wisdom. He says, bizman shein, he's talking about even about religion. But it's not Shem Ve'ever Misha Achrab. Let's talk about Shem Ve'ever. The people who came after Shem Ve'ever. So Ha'isa Sham Halacha, they didn't have Halacha. Rambam seems to be adopting the approach to the Radak here. They were not, or I mean, Shem Eivra is before Avinu. So even if you take that Agat to Avinu literally, but this is even before then. They're not keeping halacha. Nimsa shalohaya l'Hashem ba'olam klum. Right? So God had nothing because really? Do you mean that literally? So what? And again, he's playing off of Divrei Chazal here, because Chazal, the one in the Pesukim, you don't see anything special about Shem Ve'Ever, but Chazal have many Masoros and Agaritas, and the Shem Ve'Ever base measure Shem Ve'Ever. We don't know exactly what that means, but clearly that means that they were great people. Avraham Avinu was learning from them. See, these were amazing people. Well, how were they amazing? They had no halacha. They were nothing. So Rambam says, obviously, you can't take this Agarita at literal face value. It flies in the face of other Agaritas, which, by the way, is the same way we would analyze a halachic memra. You say, oh, I have a gemara here about some case of Eidos. Yeah, but what do you do? But how does it work with this? How does it work with that? Are you learning Ksubas? Right? So we have a Bryce that says this, but what do you do with that? This not, you got to work it all out. How all these memras, all these Bryces, all these Mishnahs about Eidos going to hang together? All these statements about Chazakas, how are they all coherent? So that's what he says here. We learn Agata, you can learn how to seriously. On the one hand, I have only halacha is valuable. But then what does it mean to have shame ve'ever? How are they peep anoshim shal tzura? So it's a steer between Agatas. He says, so now you see, we need to do what he calls im pnimi. Im tayen bazah dibu im pnimi. If you're going to analyze to the pnimius of this Agata, analyze the core. Let's understand not just what the garb is, what's the idea that Chazal are conveying. Tirabom and Achachma Dar Pal. You'll see something amazing, amazingly wise. Tim Tzeev, Kol Davar Galim and Amuskalas is a very important idea. A major concept in Yadus is encased within this Agada. And it says, and let me explain it to you. Let me give you, take this as an example. This will be a dugma. There are so many. I got hundreds, thousands of agartas. Let's take this one and let's peel it apart. Let's pick it apart. And it will serve as an example, as an illustration of what you can do with agartas. And he didn't pick just a random one. It becomes clear that it's a super meta move. Because he actually picked an agartas that's all about what's really important, which he understood was the root of what you need in order to learn Agat as well, is to understand what's really important. And again, going back to this before, if you don't recognize, if you can't prioritize and literally evaluate different values and know how to see the ultimate value versus an instrumental value, so then there's no way to understand Agat. So he took an Agat that's as he said before. This Agata is about the Tachlis. What's this Agata about? So he opens up by saying in section Vav, he talks about he develops this idea that the ultimate in understanding is teleological understanding. To really understand something is to understand its purpose. That's how he says every item has a purpose. Artificial, synthetic items for sure. You have a tool, so the tool is made to do something. Whoever designed it had a goal in mind, and then he designed it to accomplish that goal. So whether it's a plane or gives a couple of examples, a plane or an axe, whatever it is, so it's built to do something. And then he says natural items. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had particular goal or goals in mind for that natural item. Whether it's that it produces fabric or that it produces medication, whatever it is that it does, sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's inobvious. He says sometimes at the very bottom of page and hey. He says sometimes you can only know with Nevuah. Yesh mem shetachlis ha-nimsis b'chakira, shetachlis musag ha-chakim wata. Sometimes you'll have natural items, and you already said it, talking about both living and inanimate. Sometimes it'll be musagas b'chakir muwata. A little bit of analysis, a little bit of thought, you'll already realize what the goal of this item is. Yeshmer tachliso b'chakir meruba. You only discover its goal, its purpose, through a lot of thinking, a lot of analysis. Sometimes it's so subtle. Sometimes it's so subtle that unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you insight, through philosophical or scientific analysis, yes. He says, we don't expect to understand why God needed to make some ants can fly and some ants can't fly, and some worms have this many legs and some worms have those many legs. Centipedes and millipedes. He says, but you're picking up a nunvav. Dvarim Shem, the fourth line, Dvarim Shem Yosu Gadol Me'ela, items which are larger, for Olam Yosu Galoi, within more obvious behaviors, functionality, yes, thank you, functionality, Rebbe Yedias HaTachlisam, here's the interesting line, B'Yedias HaTachlisam Yiyah Yisron Anshei HaChachma Zeh Al Zeh, knowing their purpose, of items whose purpose is knowable, will be the Yisron, how one Chacham is greater than another. Meaning that that's the metric. The metric of wisdom, the metric of knowledge, the metric of one's smarts, of one's Chachma, is how much do you know about the telos, the teleology, the goal of items. Kol sheyiyah yosem elumen v'chazak hashkida v'zach haseichel ken yeda tachlis yoser dvar. If I'm more trained, if I have more asmada, if I have a sharper mind, then I will know the telos, the goal of more items. And he that's how he understands that mysterious pasuk in Malachim. It's interesting. And you see how like the Rambam read Tanakh. Aken kashen asna Hashem l'Shlomo menach Chachma mashi yedlo. When God granted Shlomo the wisdom that He had promised, and after the initial nevu and the dream. Hashem asks him, what do you want? And he says, he doesn't ask for power, he doesn't ask for this. He asks for money, he asks for wisdom. So Chazal says, you asked well, because of that, you'll get it all. You'll get the power and the money and the wisdom. When he gets that wisdom, the Tanakh says that he goes to Pasuk. V'yidaber al ha'itzim min ha'erzah shebal v'anon. He spoke about the trees, the ezov. V'yidaber al behema al of ha'remez ha'dag. We spoke about the animals, the bugs, the birds, the fish. So what does that mean he spoke about them? Rama said what that means is that he explained their purpose. He understood what their role is. Kasha nasna Hashem l'shlamo min ha'chachom ha'shiyed lo. When a God granted him the wisdom that had been promised, what happened as a result of that wisdom? Yada mitachli os eila ha'min ma'sher shlo adam ma'sher hu adam leida. He knew as much about the teleology, the goal of all these physical items as a person possibly could know. There comes a point after which it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand. But to the extent human beings can know, he knew the goals of different sorts of large trees and small grasses and animals and so on and so forth. That's that possible. That was the proof that Shaul HaMelech had more than just natural chachma, that there was some supernatural koach here. Yavo mikol ha'amim l'shmoa eis chachma shlomo. All the people come to hear chachma shlomo. That's what it means. That's what it means. He understood the purpose of this. Achal derech haklal kol ha'nimso mitachal gagal yarech omnom humsu'u b'shvil ha'adam bilvad. He says, to know details, so that's the greater chacha, the more you can speak about it in detail about specific species and so on and so forth. See, our time is quickly right now. But he says, in general, the basic principle is anything that's on planet Earth was created to help us. Interesting, the Rishayah pointed out that Rambam is taking the stand of Chapin does elsewhere as well. He says, malachim are not necessarily for us. Maybe even the astronomical items may not necessarily be false. Yeah, may have other, some other purpose. But anything that's on planet Earth, tachas gagal erech, that's right. He says, sometimes it's nutrition, sometimes it's clothing, sometimes it's to carry package, sometimes we may not know what it is. Okay. But it's that's l'chul shazma da'inu. We don't understand the world well enough. He says, poisonous, venomous snakes, venomous spiders, we're not sure. And then he says, and we'll close with this, he says, once you look around and you see the teleology of everything on this planet is for us, the next logical question is, what are we for? And that, he says, is a question that Agat is dealing with. And that's what Mitzvah will pick up with. We'll have to say much next Wednesday night. It's the night before. It's not the Chomes time. Okay. It's probably a busy pre-Pesach. Our purpose at that point is to get ready for Pesach. So I think, I imagine we will pick up with this Mitzvah after Yantif. Good. Shkach. Thank you very much.
We're getting now close to the end of the summer.